This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roswell County Historical Society. This year, the First Lutheran Church in Salo celebrated the 100th anniversary of its organization. On July 6, 1944, when it was only 25 years old, Roswell Times Region published an article of its history. As I read it today, keep in mind that the names of farm owners listed as current are from 1944. If Roswell is considered Minnesota's last frontier, we can say that the Salo community is one of the later developments in the county. Salo was a heavily wooded territory to which many people came from other parts of the county to secure the best logs and lumber for building their homes. With the demand for lumber, Mr. Ole J. Sunsting, a pioneer, set up the first sawmill in that territory. This was located on the farm at present owned by Mr. John Falk. A year or two later, he homesteaded a piece of land 3/4 of a mile west of the present town site of Salo and built a home to which he took his young bride, the former Thora Kveen, in the year of 1902. They were therefore the first permanent settlers in the Salo community. Shortly before this, however, John S. Lindbergh did have a small homesteader shack where he stayed now and then to fulfill his homestead rights. This was built where the present Carl Carlson farm is now located. Shortly after this, or beginning in 1905, Swedes, mostly from the province of Västerbotten, Sweden, came and settled in this new territory. This was a continuation of the first Swedes who had first come from Västerbotten to Roswell County and who had first settled in the Roswell community beginning in 1888 and throughout the 1890s. Among these early homesteaders and settlers, we find both single and married with families, Herman Grundland, J.B. Erickson, Jonas Bloom, John Rodfelt, August Rodfelt, J.W. Westman, Jens Brandt, Jonas Risberg, Christopher Maelstrom, Gust Ogren, Andrew Mattson, Carl Carlson, Alfred Hagland, Louis Lofquist, and Reynold Nicholson, and others who came later into the community. To the north and bordering this community of Swedes were some Norwegians who came in about the same time. They had much in common with the Swedes in the pioneer life, fighting the swamps and mosquitoes and clearing the land. In 1910, it was estimated there were about 60 homesteaders living in this area. With the building and coming of the Minnesota and Great Northern Railroad, it gave much help in developing this territory much faster. The grade was begun in 1905 and the rails were laid in 1908, and the coming of the first train that same fall. Some of these homesteaders helped with the work on this new road. Before this, these pioneers had to go through much swampy territory to come either to Roswell or Warroad to trade. In the wintertime, it was easier to over the frozen swamps, but in the summertime, their first and somewhat dependable road was called the Summer Road, which followed a ridge leading to Warroad and Roswell. This road goes by Salo a few miles to the south. However, these sturdy pioneers did build a corduroy road, leading more direct to Roswell over the swamps and over Hay Creek. This meant cutting of much timber as poles were laid crossways, this making a passable road over the swamps. Today, a well-improved blacktop state highway goes over this same roadway. At an early date, interest was shown in the community for the schooling of the children and young people. At first, whenever possible, the people would secure someone to come and hold regular school for a few weeks during the summers. The first school to be held in the community was at the Jonas Bloom home and was taught by Esther Danielson. This resulted in the beginning of the Westman School in 1910. About the same time, another school began in the home of Mrs. Hilma Maelstrom. This was located across the road from the present Louis Lofquist home. The first teacher here was Violet Rice. Another school was begun in 1909 in the southwest part of the settlement and was located near the present Carl Carlson home. Sometime after the coming of the railroad, this school was located near the station or just across the road from the Nels O. Christofferson house. This served as the Salo School until the present building was built in 1921. The naming of Salo came about through the naming of the post office there. Mr. L.P. Dahlquist, who was clerking the drugstore in Roseau, which also contained the post office, was largely responsible for the naming of the village. The following are his words. In the spring of 1907, the right-of-way to Warroad had been acquired and graded 2 years previously. When looking toward what has since been called Salo, I decided that location could possibly be used as a trading post. I had in mind establishing a post office there to assist in making the local point for the community roundabout. He therefore made application for a post office for the community and submitted several names, which was required. The first name submitted was Adair, and the last, Salo. Mr. Dahlquist states that he filled out the application on the showcase in which were some drugs and says that with an afterthought, the name Salo suggested itself and he added it to the list. Then, to his surprise, he was notified that the post office department chose the name of Salo, and he then received the commission as postmaster of Salo by the authority of George B. L. Meyer, Postmaster General of the United States, dated June 17, 1907. With this, he was issued a registry mail pouch and lock, together with other equipment. Mr. Dahlquist goes on to say, I brought this equipment to Salo, making my way on foot over the graded right-of-way. At Salo lived one Ole Sunsting, who consented to run the post office for me. He would be his own carrier from Roseau, as he occasionally went to Roseau for provisions. The neighborhood did not develop so fast that we could wait for it, so Mr. Ole Sunsting became the next lawfully constituted federal official at that point. And thus we have the story of the naming of the post office, which also became the name of the station. Mr. Sunsting had the post office in his home until sometime after the beginning of the first store in Salo, when it was moved there. After the railroad grade had been made, the Great Northern Railroad refused to build and operate trains until compelled under a special act of the state legislature. This happened in 1908. This line became the best-paying Great Northern branch immediately. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.